Psalm chapter 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us all rise and pray to the Lord and surrender this service. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, for granting grace to every one of us to serve Thee. Thank you, Lord, for showing mercy to every one of us to be here today, O Lord. And Lord, as a scripture teaching all of us that you have given us the grace to live a life that is worthy of Thy calling, to serve Thee, to glorify Your name, to please Your Spirit, and to be of a meaningful instruments of service in Thy house to one another, for we are the family of God, brothers and sisters united by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, people of the way who are alive in the Spirit of God. And Lord, we pray, may You come and touch us. When You touch us, O Lord, we become whole. When You touch us, O Lord, we change from glory to glory. When You touch us, O Lord, the beautiful divine process of perfection happens in our life deep within. And Lord, as a deep call to the deep, we all call on to the name of the Lord. Come and speak to us in Your word by the leading of Your Spirit, according to Your will, that we may all receive Thy words of life. For Thy words and Spirit, it is life to all of us, O Lord. We thank You for today. We pray for Thy anointing to be upon us. For the power of Thy anointing, destroy the yoke. For the power of Thy anointing, remove all the obstacles. The power of Thy anointing, repair the breach, restore the path, revive the hearts, renew the spirit. You are all in all. Come, O Lord, and be with all of us today. Help us to commune with Thee, O Lord, in spirit. In Jesus Christ's name I prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. We thank the Lord for bringing all of us today. I thank the Lord for the wonderful testimonies from all the brethren. How the Lord provides, how the Lord protects, how the Lord encourages, how the Lord watch over every one of us. We learn from one another. We thank the Lord for we are just 7 days away from the day of foot washing and communion. And most importantly, if the Lord wills, in His everlasting mercies, we may complete the 3 years only if the Lord wills. Amen. So we submit to the Lord and we take on our life one day at a time. And I thank the Lord for this Sunday. We started with the scripture saying that the Lord will be closer when we move closer to Him. Amen. Of course, He knows that we can't come closer to Him, but He just wants to see, are we leaning to Him? Are we yielding to Him? Do we have the desire to take one step for Him? Then He will do the rest to come and carry us home. As the verse says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Now, who broke the heart? Can God break the heart of His children? Can a father destroy the child? The Lord would never do that. Then why the heart was broken? And saveth such as be of contrite spirit. Why the Lord needs to save where the spirit is struggling? Contrite spirit. What is the scripture is teaching all of us? Let us all turn our scriptures to book of James. It is after book of Hebrews. Book of James, chapter 4. Let us see if this verse also tells the same what we read in the book of Psalms. Chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. We sing the song, if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. And we sing a song, my God is real. Now the question is, how do we draw nigh to him to experience that he also draw nigh to us? Now book of James continues by saying, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Indeed, the verse starts with a beautiful assurance, a blessing of, if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. But the verse is not complete without the two instructions, two warnings, saying that we are all double-minded people, number one. And not just that, our heart is not pure. Purify your heart. James 4:8 says, your heart is not pure, your mind is double, which means wishy-washy, going to two different extremes. And book of Psalms says, God is close to a broken heart, contrite spirit. Now, verse 9 says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. It sounds very negative, isn't it? It says as if the Lord is cursing. But we only learn to say the word that the Lord will transform my sorrow into joy. Like Ben Oni, Rachel was in pain and she named the son of my sorrows. And the father Jacob says, nay, I change the name to Benjamin, that is, son of strength. The Lord turned our sorrows into joy. But here the Lord says, I will change your joy into heaviness and let your laughter to be weep and moan. Why? The apostolic faith is preaching this in the book of James. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. That shows the previous two verses are spoken to us when we are not lifted up. Spiritually, we were all the lame, seated outside the beautiful gate of Solomon, who needed the help from Apostle Peter and Apostle John. Two agreed as one, as two apostles as one, in the Spirit of God, in their agreement, the Lord heard the cry and healed the sick. You and me, we were all the sick. The Lord blessed some too, to have the agreement in his name, in his spirit, for all of us to stand up. Someone prayed for us. Amen. Someone were crying on their knees for us. Someday, some years ago, we never know. Now, verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of law, but a judge. But there is only one judge. From verse 8 onwards, there is a big shift to verse 11 in just two verses. If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We print the verse in a big notice board and many churches, they sell the verses and make money. But the verse is not complete without the other two instructions. Do not be double-minded. And check your heart whether it is pure or corrupted. Then continues by saying it will manifest in terms of fruits, actions. Verse 12 says there is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? why the scripture is moving to judgment from if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you, then moving all the way to do not judge. Most of the times, we judge ourselves. When we feel the peace that we don't judge one another, without our knowledge, without our consciousness, we judge ourselves to a state where we are not supposed to be. Let us continue. Verse 13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That is premeditation, presumption, confidence in our planning. And verse 14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, that is our lifespan, our entire lifespan, and vanisheth away. Methuselah lived 969 years, and the Lord called it as vapor. Moses 120, Abraham 175, Joshua 110, Joseph 110. The Lord calls vapor. Adam, 930 years he lived. The Lord called as vapor. The last two verses says, for ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. If the Lord allows, if the Lord wills, if it is his will, if at all he allows, if he permits, if he desires, if it is glorifying his name, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. In a single verse, the servant of God says, rejoice, do this, but it is evil. If it is evil, then why a servant says, do this? He did not command by saying, do this, but rather he is mocking. In the same way, book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel mocks the prince of Tyre, saying that you are wiser than Daniel. He was not telling the truth, he was mocking. A divine way of insulting our flesh. Thou art wiser than Daniel, you are so beautiful, you are so perfect, in a worldly way, in an earthly way. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 28 and 25, covers this so beautifully. Now, verse 7 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. The very first time the word sin introduced in the scripture in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says the wage of sin is death. And the book of James chapter 4 verse 17 says, if you know to do good, if you don't do it, it is sin. But in the Garden of Eden, knowing means for us it is knowledge. So we, when I say we, Eve, that represents us, she desired for the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and she forsook the tree of life, and she fell into the deceptive trap of serpent, who told her, we can do this. We can gain this. So she misplaced life for something that was pointing to knowledge. But here the scripture says, if you know to do good, it is life. If you don't do it, it is death, which is sin. Now let's go back to book of Psalm and read the last verse again. Chapter 34, what we began today. Chapter 34, the last verse is verse 18, verse 22. Now let us remember what we read in the book of James and now read verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. Not the children's who receive inheritance by doing nothing, but the servants who receive the reward by serving. By working. By doing, by fulfilling, by living the word is us serving the word of God. For God was manifest in flesh. If the psalm verse says the Lord is a redeemer and he redeemeth the soul of those whom he showed mercy, Then those who received mercy doesn't have to be servants, but rather people who received mercy, but they did nothing. Indeed, we did nothing to gain salvation, but yet the Lord says in the book of Revelation, those who do the commandments of the Lord, they will have the access to the tree of life, which we lost in the past. And book of Psalm reminds us, the Lord redeemed the soul of his servants. So today, as we begin the series from the Kiss of God's Counsel, and today we begin the sermon under the same series, which I want to surrender and submit at the feet of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as a preparation for all of us, for all our family members whom we love in Christ, those who know the Lord, those who are part of the congregation today, and those who do not know the Lord, there are many of you waiting for the salvation of your loved ones, your parents, your siblings, your husband, wife, children, brother, sister, colleagues, friends. There are many of us have longingness in our heart that, Lord, may you touch this soul, may you touch this brother, may you touch this sister. May he receive thy name. May he receive thy truth. May he be reconciled back to thee. May he return to thee. May he be restored unto thee, he or she. So we all have the desire, isn't it? Every one of us, there is something that we want from the Lord. And that is always restore the joy of thy salvation to someone. Amen? Someone whom we love in Christ. And among the people, whoever is the Lord's called, the Lord's chosen, they are all the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? And in that bride of Jesus Christ, some they know the Lord. We are all together today. Some they know the Lord, but due to circumstances, the hurt, wounds, misunderstandings, whatever that stood in between, played the deceptive game of separating the family of God, the flesh of the flesh, the bone of the bone, united by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a breach. And today, by the grace of God, we surrender the whole sermon for the Lord to bless all of us, to pray, to prepare ourselves, and to have the unquenchable desire that burns in our heart that we shall see the return of the Lord's redeemed. For the family of God is complete when the Lord says, you are complete. Until the Lord says you are complete, we are incomplete. Amen? If there is a breach in the net, you can never catch a fish. All the fish will escape through the breach, the gap, the imperfection. If there is a breach in the ark will not survive the flood. The ark will sink. Why? There is a hole. The flood shall enter. If there is a breach in the wall, the enemy will enter. If there is a hole in the house, the snake will enter. And may the Lord bless all of us that in these 7 days, may he perfect the bond of perfection. The mortar, the only mortar that can seal our hearts, seal our mind, seal our soul, seal our life, that we may be able to receive our loved ones back to the congregation. Amen. So by the grace of God, may the Lord speak to us, and all those brethren who are unable to join today, who are watching now, who may be watching in the days to come. And I pray, may the Lord bless this sermon to be an anointed invitation in his spirit, in his agape. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. Let us all turn your scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 1 to verse 4. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Which is Psalm 34 verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants who serve, who exercise their faith, who perform the word, who do the word, who live the word. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. That is Book of Revelation, chapter 22, the last verse. Do not add anything to the word of God, and do not remove anything from the word of God. But I want all of us to read the same scripture today. Do not add anything to the understanding of the Lord, and do not remove anything from the understanding of the Lord. Because both of them will result in misunderstanding. Amen. And that will become the lack of understanding. All of us are sinners. Is there anyone disagree here? Even a newborn child is called a sinner. My mother conceived me in sin. That is who we are. But the Lord, in his mercy, he chose to wash us by his precious blood. And he told us, be perfect, for I am perfect. Be holy, for I am holy. He said, you can do it. Just follow me. Just remember me. Just think about me. Just do, say, walk in the way what I will do. So we have a calling, which is to conform to the image of God. Amen. But all of us have the same calling. So we are all conforming to the same image of God. Because there are not two images. There is only one image, one understanding, one goal, one target, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. There is only one anointing. So we are all following the same light. Because of that, we walk together. Amen. Because of that, we hold hands on together, we share the burdens together. Because we all have the same purpose, to be conformed to his image. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 4 starts by saying that, live the word. But it goes to a direction in verse 8. Verse 8 says, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments are so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? And the Lord is questioning, is there anything that can be more righteous, more precious, more holy, more divine than what I have set before thee today? Amen. Now let's read to verse 29. Because we can't read all the verses, let us read the important ones. Verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Now Deuteronomy says, if you seek him, you will find him. If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. If you seek him, you will find him. And says, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. But Jesus Christ said, you love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. But here Moses says, seek the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul. So what is seeking? Can I say seeking is a child longing for the love of God, seeking the love of God? Because Jesus said, love thy God. Moses says, seek thy God. But they both tell the same thing, all thy heart, all thy soul. What the book of Psalms says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. Amen. Redeemer redeemeth the soul of his servants. And here it says, seek. There is a work to do. There is something that we should do. Verse 30. When thou art in tribulation and all these things that are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. The first time the word obedience comes into picture, as we start the series today. In order for us to keep our journey closely yet humbly with the Lord, the Bible says, when thou art in tribulation, the Lord is sending all the trials, tribulation, challenges in our life, so that we will be chastened. we will be positioned in the place where we are supposed to be and keep walking behind Him. Keep following Him. The Lord is assembling us, gathering us in His time. But by doing so, He says, obedient to His voice. Now, how many voices is there for you to follow? One or two? There is only one voice. But the truth is there are many voices around us. Many. The voice of our flesh, the voice of adversity, the voice of wickedness, the voice of your earthly battle, the voice of your daily survival, the voice of your work, the voice of your friends, the voice of your relative, the voice of your loved one, the voice of the filia. In the midst of all these nonsense noises, there is only one voice of agape. One. And Moses says, seek thy God, you will find it. And Jesus says, do it with love, you will find it. Now, verse 31 says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. So this is where we fall by our very own counsel. Moses made it very clear that our salvation, the mercy that we received, is because of God's covenant with our forefathers. Not because of you. This is the thorn the Lord wants His children to embrace, to stay grounded, to stay humble, that today we receive mercy because God made a covenant with someone, not you. But He also redeemed you, saved you in His covenant because He is the new covenant. Amen? The Lord is the new covenant. Deuteronomy, Psalm, Book of James. We thank the Lord. It talks about, turn to me. See, there is a big difference between the Lord tells, I will turn to thee, and the Lord tells us, turn to me. It's day and night, extreme, two sides of differences, because if the Lord keeps His focus on us, and we turn, and we distract by something else, and the Lord says, turn to me. And if we keep our focus on the Lord, and the Lord is not pleased, and He turns aside, and you say, Lord, turn to me. There is one right extreme, and there is one left extreme. Amen? And here the Lord says, turn to me, which means, He that keepeth Israel neither slumber, neither sleep. He keeps His eyes on His children. Because there is an eye watching over you all the time. But we turn aside. And the Lord says, return unto me. Now let's turn our scriptures to Malachi chapter 3. Because that is the last book before the Old Testament ends and the New Testament begins, isn't it? Before the book of Matthew, Malachi. Let's turn our Bible to Malachi. And let us understand why the last book of the Old Testament ends with such a warning and also a blessing. But most importantly, a warning. Because we know that when the Lord says, former things passed away, that is old, and new things have begun, that is come, that is new. If you apply the same thing in the book of Old Testament, former things and the new things, because the Lord will come and offer Himself as a new covenant, the Lamb of Sacrifice, all the old things passed away, and the new things, which is present established truth, is the new covenant and the new wine for all of us, because the Holy Ghost is given to every one of us. Amen? Now, book of Malachi, chapter 3, chapter 4, it does not end by exalting, praising people to remain boasting. But book of Malachi grounds people to the lower state so that they can receive the prophet who will come later. Chapter 3, verse 2. Who may abide the day of His coming, and who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire, and the like fuller soap.
which is similar to the challenge that God made in the book of Deuteronomy, is there any nation who can set their law more divine righteous than my law? The Lord put up a challenge. Now the challenge becomes a person. Who can stand up against his coming? Verse 3 says, but he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Book of James says, if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you, but purify thy heart. And Malachi says, there is one who can purify thy heart. Book of James says, do not be double-minded. And book of Malachi is going to tell us, there is one who can bless you to have the mind of Christ. Verse 7. Same chapter, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, that is falling away, that is backsliding, that is moving away from the narrow path. That is ordinances, moving away from ordinances. And have not kept them, which means it was given, but we lost on our way. We all did. None of us can say, I never fell, I never lost it. Every one of us are guilty. Every one of us. We are here because of his pure mercy. And the Lord says, return unto me and I will return unto you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. That is closer. But the Lord says, forget about that. Let us focus on the first step. Return unto me and I will return unto you. Let us apply and visualize the blessed testimony of prodigal son. We are not reading it, but it is all in your heart. The sequence is so precise, is so divine, and it is constant. The father did not step out of his house until he see the son coming to the house. The father waited. Amen? Because the father knows the son carries his blood. It will overpower the wickedness at some point of time. The father knows. Why? It is finished. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now all that son needed was, I will go to my father's house. That is all that he had to say. Every one of us were made to say in our life, when we were all sinless, wandering in darkness, the Lord found us. But yet he wanted us to take the first step. I will receive the name of the Lord. I will go to the court of the Lord. I will go to his house. I am not worthy, but I will go. Because of that, we are all sitting here today. Because you made a choice. Because God did not force you. And the Bible says, the prodigal son stood up. And he looked upon himself. Examined himself. What am I doing? Where am I sitting? What am I eating? What is my shelter? I will go to my father's house. That's all he said. When he was on his way, he had hesitations. He had confusions. He could not reach by himself. And the father ran to him, fell on his neck, kissed him. Did he kiss him? He kissed him. The Bible says the father kissed the son. The same way Isaac told Jacob, come near to me, that I may touch thee, I may hug thee, and I may kiss thee. Isaac kissed Jacob. And the father kissed the prodigal son. All of us, prodigal daughter, prodigal son, we are all, we were all. And the Lord kissed us. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. He kissed us. The Father in heaven kissed us. God was manifest in flesh. The Lord kissed us. Amen. I am the Lord thy God. Thy creator is thy husbandman. Now, the book of Malachi says, return unto me. And that M-E, me, is not representing us. And the Lord says, me, which is I am who I am.
May the Lord bless us as we enter into the sermon. Return unto me. And this me is I am. Because the Lord did not say, consider to return. Will you return? Do you want to return? No. The Lord says, return unto me. It's a command. Because he knows his children, his sheep will hear the command and will obey. Because book of Deuteronomy says, obedient to his voice. My sheep will hear my voice. Amen. The Lord said, the good shepherd said this. And verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. It is not referring to the physical, materialistic things of the world, which the moth will eat and perish in a moment. It is pointing to all of us. The Lord called all of us, you are my living sacrifice. We sing a song, is your all on the altar of sacrifice. And the Lord says, where is it? Why did you rob my sacrifice? Now, let us go to chapter 4. And let us understand why the Old Testament ends with these three verses. My brethren, remember this. Who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses. Exodus, Moses. Numbers, Moses. Deuteronomy, Moses. Leviticus, Moses. The first five books, Moses. The very last book of the Old Testament ends with three verses. Verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Remember. And book of Malachi was written many years later of the time of wilderness. And the last book of the Old Testament ends by saying, remember the law of Moses. Why? There is one lawgiver is coming who will come and fulfill every single word that Moses spoke on Calvary. He will come and fulfill as it is. But people could not understand what the Lord said. They started worshipping the law of Moses and they still remain blinded. Now look at the next verse. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And the very same verse, people also misunderstood. Maybe Jesus Christ is also the prophet Elijah. Maybe a world prophet who came to life. Maybe. They even consider who is John the Baptist. Maybe Jesus Christ is John the Baptist incarnated. He was resurrected. They had so much speculations because they were looking for a way out. They were not looking for the way. There's a difference between way out and way. The Lord wants us to enjoy the journey with him. But most of the times we don't enjoy the journey. We end up hurting ourselves just to wait for what is at the end of the journey. And surprise, the journey itself is the promised land for thee. The journey itself is your reward. The journey itself is our promised land. Abraham walked with God. Enoch walked with God. They were rejoicing in God's presence as they were walking, as they were living. They were not waiting for something. That is why the book of Hebrews says, those who died in faith, they received not the promise because they were not looking for the earthly promise. They were walking with the promised son. They were walking with the promise of God. The visible presence of God Almighty. They don't need anything else. They were satisfied. The book of Psalms says, satisfy my soul, O Lord. How he satisfies? By giving himself to thee. Now, verse 6 says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. My precious family of God, remember the very last words of the Old Testament, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Now I repeat, the very last word of the Old Testament curse. The very last word of the Old Testament is curse. But in order to overcome the curse, there was also an instruction given in the same verse. The prophet of God who carried the word of God in his heart to be uttered in the anointing of the Spirit of God according to the will of God in his time, and the word become life. When you hear what he says, he will turn your hearts against your children, children against the father, that there is no philia anymore. For all the earthly relationship will perish, and the divine, holy counsel of God, that is the family of God, the relationship of God who is love, will stand tall. Then the four beasts that is crying 24/7 in the holy heavenly realm of God says, holy, holy, holy. Because the bride must preserve herself holy in body, holy in soul, holy in spirit. Present thyself blameless in soul, spirit, body. Holy, 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 all the earth is filled with his glory. Amen. But what is the last verse? Lest I smite the earth with a curse. Don't let me do it. End of Old Testament. And then begins Gospel of Matthew. Verse 1. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you bring these two verses together as the two dots connecting together, the last verse of Old Testament says about Moses. Remember my servant Moses. Amen. The end of Old Testament. And says, I will send the prophet Elijah. So how many names you see? Moses and Elijah. When Jesus Christ transfigured in the mount, who were standing next to him? Moses and Elijah. And people still say scripture is not accurate. Why? They don't read New Testament. Without New Testament, we walk one leg. You can't run, you will fall. Without New Testament, we also walk one leg. Both the Testament agree together that the entire scripture talks about one God and one true living God. Amen. Moses, Elijah, Old Testament ends. Abraham, David, New Testament begins. But in between, there is one name that is mentioned without mentioning the name. It says Christ. Why? His name was not announced yet. Gabriel has to come. Amen. So my brethren, remember this. Malachi chapter 4 ends by saying, remember Moses, Elijah is coming. So Moses, Elijah, then come the word Christ. Then on the other side, two names mentioned, son of David, son of Abraham. Son of David, son of Abraham. Because Abraham was not a king, but David was a king. Abraham was father of all nations. David was not called the father of all nations, but David was called the beloved of the Lord, a man after my own heart, and the king the Lord established. Amen. So Jesus Christ is a king, and he came to do the will of the Father, that types Abraham. And he is the son of man, types son of David, son of Abraham. And he is son of God, that types what Moses said, what prophet Elijah will come and say. So remember this. The old and the new agree together, there is only one in between, and his name is the Christ, anointed. And it says the book of the generation of Christ. So there is a book of life where all our names are written, and we believe it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Because he said that your names are written in the book of life. And Moses said that, Lord, blot my name out of the book if it is needed to save thy people, my people. So Moses was willing to perish to preserve the family of God. And the Lord said, I am righteous, I will do what is good. And he preserved all of them. He just removed the wickedness. Now, let us turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Malachi chapter 3 verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what we have spoken so much against thee. So, have we all spoken against the Lord? The first answer would come to your heart, I don't think so. I hope, I pray I didn't. But why the book of Malachi is bringing this? Because book of Malachi is a very important book, especially for the seventh church age. Verse 14 says, ye have said it is vain to serve God. Oh no. Book of Psalms says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. And book of Malachi says, it is vain to serve God. You are not worthy to serve God. Okay, I won't serve God. You are not worthy to do this. I won't do this. But this is not going anywhere. It is useless, pointless, meaningless. It is vain to serve God. Understanding. What we understand is what we speak to God. What we perceive is what we speak to God. Because God hears the thoughts, the intents of our heart loud and clear. Even before the lips utter, he has heard it already. And he says, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And we call the proud happy, yea. They that work wickedness are set up, yea. They that tempt God are even delivered. But look at verse 6. It overshadows and comes in parallel with book of Daniel. In book of Daniel, chapter 11, which is one chapter before the book ends, chapter 11 says there are some people who understood their creator. They stood firm together and they exploited the adversity. Why? They received the counsel of God, the wisdom of God. They speak to one another, they fellowship with one another, they together in unity of God, they were able to withstand, but yet they all fell to the sword, like the martyrs of Christ in the New Testament later. For them the victory was to fulfill the God's purpose rather than living long, living so mightily, so much praise and admiration from the world, but rather they lived a life that is beautiful to the sight of God. And the Lord was identifying himself with them. Now verse 16 of Malachi says, they that fear the Lord spake often one to one another. That is, they were sharing their burdens with one another. They were loving one another indeed, in truth. They find comfort from one another. They found the Lord's presence in one another. And they saw Jesus Christ in one another. They, often, that is apostles, they break bread in every day, gather in every house, pray together. They could not stop from being surrendered to the agape of God. That is fellowship, that is book of Genesis. God created Adam and Eve to fellowship with them. And the Lord hearkened. What was the title of the last Sunday sermon? Hearken unto me. The Lord tells to his children, the last Sunday sermon was mainly focusing on, the Lord tells us, hearken unto me. And today, people did something and they made the Lord to hearken unto them. Because here it says, the Lord hearken unto them. The Lord listened to them. The Lord answered them. The Lord fulfilled their desires. The Lord completed them. And to do that, they did something. They that fear the Lord often speak to one another. And what they did? And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Again, Psalm 34 verse 22. It says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. Are we the servants of God today? Or are we complacent in being the children of God. The servants of God are the children of God who do the will of God. But if we remain as children of God, if we don't become the servants of God, what could happen to us? And the Lord says, return. It is not sufficient to tell ourselves, I love God, I believe God, I worship God, I praise God. There is something that we should do as a family. Because every vineyard has a purpose. Every net the Lord casts to put them together, there are fishes to be caught. Every garden the Lord planted, there are fruits to be reaped. Every tree that grows as a tree of righteousness, sown in peace, needs to spread its branches to give shelter to those who are wandering, struggling in the wilderness, in the hot sun. They need a place to find shelter, the strong tower of His name. The ministry must provide that. Now it says, verse 17 we are, verse 18. Then, once you understand all of this, shall ye return. Return where? Return where? Where should I return, Lord? Then shall ye return. Where should I return, Lord? And discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God, and between him that serveth not. And the Lord make the group into two. They that exercise their faith, because faith without work is dead, so they that exercise their faith, they that serve me, they that do my word, and they that not exercise their faith, which is faith without works is dead. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. And my people serve me with zeal but without knowledge. But that knowledge is not this knowledge, but that knowledge is knowing the Creator. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That is pointing to understanding. Now, verse 18 says, ye shall return to serve me. Amen. The Lord clearly said, serve me. Every one of us, the Lord said to us, serve me. Because we all have great things to do for the Lord. Not small things. Every one of us, the Lord will do great things. If a soul that is baptized receives the name of Christ because of the Lord's testimony in your life, tell me, is there anything else greater than the salvation of one sheep? In the whole earth, so many things may happen. Attacks may happen. Nations may fight one another. So many things may happen. But you know, the eyes of the Lord are upon His children. One soul salvation will be celebrated in heaven. As if the whole earth is saved, because God is not partial. For Him, one is the same as 1 million. Because Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, will leave all the flock and will go after the one lost, missing sheep, which was you, which was me. He came for us through the muddy pastures to find us. He will do the same thing. He is doing the same thing. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Jeremiah 24, verse 7. Brother Clement, please help to read this for me. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 24, verse 7. Starting from verse 5, please read until verse 9.
Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good things, so I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good, into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart. But as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad. Surely, thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem, who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth, for their harm to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them.
God bless you, brother. From verse 5 to 8, it was encouraging, but verse 9 says why the Lord tells is very important, because there is something to follow after. The same way how Book of Malachi ends, lest I come and smite the whole earth with a curse. Amen? And the Lord wants His children to escape the plague. The Lord wants all of us to escape the plague, which is to find shelter by the doorpost applied by the blood of Jesus Christ. That requires perfect submission. Amen? Obedience to the voice of God. Now, here, what we listen to from Book of Jeremiah is, I will set mine eyes upon for them good. Verse 6. And I will bring them again to this land. That is, again means what? They were here before and circumstances took them away. And Jesus Christ says, whoever He healed them, they were not punished or cursed or judged, but that they endured for the glory of the Lord to manifest in them. Because children of God are not the Lord's way of destroying our soul, but He is Redeemer of our soul. He restores our life. He renews our spirit. He loves us more than whatever you can think of. Now, the Lord tells in the Book of Jeremiah, I will bring my people to my land. Now the question is, what is the duty, not the responsibility of duty of the world? What is the purpose of the parts of the world shall do? Are we all the part of the world? Amen. Do you know why the Lord tells us, return unto me? If He is the I am, and the Bible says He is the word. Amen. I am the Word of God. The Lord is the Word. The Word was God. And you and me are parts of Him. Amen? This is the communion bread that we will break in 7 days' time, if the Lord allows us to break. There was one Word. In the beginning there was Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was spoken. We are all created. And the spoken word, like a broken bread, the every single piece, we all receive the portion of His faith, the grace, the mercy, the love, and we all found life in Christ, and today we are all sitting in the chair, listening to the Word of God, but in the beginning, you are in His mind. Before He laid the foundations, you are in His mind. So, He is the I am, and He is the Word, and we are the parts of Him, and the Lord commands the parts of the Word, return unto me. For God is spirit, He will reconcile, redeem all the spirits back to Him. Now, continue from Book of Jeremiah, let's go to Book of Zechariah. I want us to read some books of the prophets before we bring all these learnings to the life of Samuel and Saul. Because we are still studying the entire sermon series revolving around these two. One prophet and one king. Let's turn your Bibles to Book of Zechariah, chapter 1. Zechariah, chapter 1. Please read, my brother, from verse 3 to 6. Let us listen to this.
Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did that not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways, according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Please be seated. You see how the word ended? According to our ways, according to our doings, so had he dealt with us, because God is righteous and he changeth not. But how the verse started in verse 3 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now the situation is different. Which means, the father is in the house, he is looking unto something else. And we, the prodigal sons and daughters of God, we were in our life at some point, never ever forget your past, who we were. It helps you. It keeps you grounded. We were focusing on the food of swine. In that time, the father was looking at another side and the son was looking at this side. But when the son stood up and changed the direction, looking unto the house of the father, and the Bible says, father turned to him. Now you read the situation in the book of Zechariah is different than what I showed you in the book of Jeremiah, book of Psalm, book of James, book of Deuteronomy. Now it is mutual. You turn, I will turn. You draw nigh to me, I draw nigh to you. Now you turn, I turn. Return unto me. Now, when the Lord said this, he gave an instruction saying, which is in verse 4, the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways, from your evil doings. They did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. You see, the Lord is a jealousy God, the Lord of vengeance, not in a bad way, but the Lord is teaching us a lesson. You return unto me, I return unto you. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Not punishment in the Old Testament, but the Lord wants us to be like him, to earn his righteousness, to do the what. And the Lord says very clearly that hearken unto me is his command, that is last Sunday. But here the Lord says, you did not hearken unto me. So let's go and look at an example. What is this hearken unto me? One example. So that we understand why the name of Moses was mentioned when the Old Testament ended. Let's turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 35. Let us take one example, because God always performs demonstration of his word that we may all learn from. Chapter 35, here what happens is, I will read this, verse 18, chapter 35 says, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, that she called his name Ben-Oni, his father called him Benjamin. So in this case, Rachel is going to die, her soul is departing, isn't it? So before that, because of her sorrow, agony and pain, and she gave a name to the son in her pain. But I just want all of us to remember Rachel as a church. I just want us to take an inspiration for all of us to learn. Every vineyard of the Lord, the seed sprung forth. Amen? And the ground was tilled. The ground was, went through a lot of beatings from the Lord. Like how a mother travel in pain. Thenceforth, and the mother delivers a child in pain. When the child comes, there is life. Amen? Because we were all born again. And someone suffered for us. Someone suffered for us. Like how a mother suffered to deliver a child. Now, the father heard what the mother said, and the father changed the name to Benjamin. We have gone through this. But I'm going to show you the importance of this event, because the verse 19 says, Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Remember, Rachel's burial ground was on the way to Bethlehem. Now, Jacob, he did something. He set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Amen? Remember this? The husband put a pillar to remember the wife who passed away. But she did not go in vain. She gave the son. That completed the life of Jacob. Without Rachel, Jacob is not complete. Without Benjamin, Jacob is not complete. There must be 12 tribes of Israel. Amen? There were 11. The 12th one was not easy. The last one came with a death. Benjamin was born with death of the mother. Imagine his life as he grows. He will remember, my mother died for me. My mother died for me. My mother died for me. When Joseph saw Benjamin, he hugged him and cried him and kissed him. He could not control the emotion because they were from the same womb. Joseph, Benjamin, from the same womb. One, the first savior of Israel in the Old Testament. Next to the king of Pharaoh. And two, the very first king of Israel, Saul, the Benjamite. Now turn your scriptures to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Let's turn the scriptures to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Remember Rachel. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Let us read from, I will read verse 1 and 2 first. Chapter 10 verse 1 and 2. When Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, that is Saul, and kissed him, that is very important. Samuel loved Saul, same as Aaron loved Moses. There was a love. They can't act. Samuel is not going to perform a drama. I must kiss you just for the people to see that I'm anointing. No, he loved Saul because Samuel is child of God. Saul is child of God. There were no two anointings, same anointing. They were as one. And Samuel kissed him because Saul was able to come near to the prophet. He embraced him, kissed him, because Saul was empty. He was ready. When he kissed him, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? What is inheritance? The land of Israel? No. The wealth of Israel? No. The chariot horse of Israel? No. The power and the army of Israel? No. The inheritance of God is always the people of Israel, not the land. Over time, Saul misplaced the inheritance from people to the land, power, reputation, and the praise of men. He misplaced it. Why? The counsel was flipped. And Samuel told Saul, this is the reason God anointed you to be a captain over his inheritance, not the king of the land. Look at the word, what Samuel said, captain over the inheritance. I heard the word captain somewhere. Who is that person? Jethro. Jethro is the one who told Moses, ordain chief captains. Now let's continue verse 2. When thou art departed from me, which is written from me, today, because today is the day, everything is done. You came, you received, anointed, blessed, kissed by me. Now go. Go thy way, Saul. Go thy way. Go and face your own battle. Now, but Samuel gave an instruction that is very interesting, which Saul did not see coming. And Samuel says, you will find two men by Rachel's sepulcher. What? Rachel died a long, long time ago. So the sepulcher is still there to be identified, because when Moses wrote that verse, that stone, the pillar that Jacob built for Rachel, it is even to this day. Which means when Moses wrote that, Moses can say it is still exist at the time of writing, isn't it? Now we are in the time of Samuel, which means it still existed in the time of Samuel. And Samuel tells Saul, you go along the way, you will meet two people. Now remember when Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb, when Mary went there, how many witnesses she saw? Two. Two men in white apparel. But that is the sepulchre of Christ. But this is sepulchre of Rachel. But she just gave birth to the tribe of Benjamin, who is going to be the very first king of Israel. And remember this, and also the very last king of Israel. Don't forget, that who is leading the nation of Israel today and what his name points back to. And there is always a reason why we are all living in such a moment. Now, because the Lord begin and he finish in the same way. Now, what it says here, the Rachel sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, which is, now the word Benjamin became a land. In the Old Testament, Benjamin was a child. Amen? Genesis 35, Benjamin child, Rachel dead mother. 1 Samuel chapter 10, Rachel became a landmark, Benjamin became a land. And the border is where Rachel's sepulcher was. Now remember this. Now let's read verse 26. Verse 26. Same chapter, verse 26. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Not all. When Samuel spoke of the Lord's promise, not all hearts were touched. Some hearts were touched, and the Lord called them as band of men whose hearts were touched. Now what the Bible taught all of us so far, return to me with whole heart, not half heart, not hesitating heart, not because there is no other choice, not because we must be part of a church, not because of no such things, law or rule, but with a divine purpose and a clear understanding of why, who we are. When Saul returned, there was fellowship with him, isn't it? But look at the next verse. It says, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Now answer into your heart. How come Saul held his peace? The chapter begins by saying, Samuel kissed Saul. And the chapter ends by saying, Saul held peace. In the Old Testament, Aaron kissed Moses. And the Lord burnt the two sons of Aaron. And the Lord told Moses, tell your brother, hold thy peace. And Moses go and tell Aaron, my brother, hold thy peace, for God had burnt your two sons. And the Bible says, Aaron held thy peace, period. And now Saul held the peace. I want all of us to remember this. This is the Saul who could not hold peace later when his heart became troubled. With a distressing spirit, he could not find peace. He lost it. And the Lord told Saul, every time David plays a song of salvation, you will be renewed. Whenever he leaves thy presence, you will be the same person who you were. To teach him a lesson, return unto me. Return unto me. The Lord was telling him louder in a still voice with all the sign. But Saul was seeking David. Saul was seeking Samuel. He did not seek God. Now remember this, Saul held peace. Amen? Remember this verse. Now let's keep and come back to book of Isaiah before we go back to the life of Saul. Go to book of Isaiah chapter 31. Read my brother, verse 6 to 7. There are three passages we must read in the book of Isaiah. Please help us to read. Chapter 31, verse 6 to 7.
Isaiah 31, 6 to 7. Return to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, sin, which your own hands have made for yourselves.
Please read chapter 44, verse 21 to 22.
Isaiah chapter 44, 21 to 22. Remember these, O Jacob, and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you, you are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you.
The last verse.
verse 22. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you.
Return to me because I have redeemed thee. Now, return to me because I have redeemed thee. I want to remember why the Lord said this. He did not say, return to me, I will redeem thee. He did not say that. He said, return to me, for I have redeemed thee. He tells Peter, you will deny me three times, but I have prayed for thee. If you expand the verse, return unto me, Peter, repent. Return unto me, Peter, for I have redeemed thee. You are my apostle. In the word, I have redeemed thee, we all should see assurance. Blessed assurance. It's not the Lord will save you. He has saved you. It is done. It is done on the cross of Calvary. He said it is finished. When the Lord said it is finished, we should not change it to say it will be finished. Nay. We can't change God's time. He said it is finished. The word is means today is the day. Present established truth. Not will be finished. That is why we have read the verse that says, Book of James chapter 4 says, do not think what you will do here, there, then, now, because it is future. And the Lord says, today is the day it is finished. Take your life one day at a time, because you can bear your burden, because His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Tomorrow's burden, we face tomorrow. Tomorrow's battle comes tomorrow, but we should sleep today to rest. Now, the Bible says here, chapter 55, let's turn your Bible, chapter 55, because book of Isaiah, as we all know, it's a miniature Bible, isn't it? The entire book is like a whole Bible, like a small story. It covers the entire Bible, book of Isaiah. It's a mini Bible. Chapter 55, verse 7 and 8. Let me read this. Let's read from verse 6 so that we link it back to Moses. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let's stop it there. So is there a possibility that he may not be found? Yes. Is there a possibility that he may go far away? Yes. Why? Book of Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord while there is time. Before the grace ends, stand up and do what is good in the sight of God. Every one of us, none of us are perfect. None of us are greater. There is only one who is greater. Greater than King Solomon. The one who said, before Abraham was I. The only one great Lord Almighty. How great thou art. And here says, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him unto our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Which means he says there is no limit in his mercy that he cannot forgive you beyond that. Because there is nothing can stand against the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary. There is no sin that has the power to tell the Lord your sacrifice is not sufficient. There is no sin. His single drop of blood can wash the entire earth. It is more powerful than the flood that God sent. That one drop of the blood of Christ. And He shed that for us. And verse 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. This is, my dear brethren, it should be the territory of our, don't turn to the right, my thoughts. Don't turn to the left, my ways. Because the Lord says, before you return to me, forsake your thoughts. Did He say that? Let us remember. Forsake your thoughts. How can I forsake my thoughts? Because what is thoughts? It's seed that result in action, that result in words. Out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaketh. Not just that, out of the abundance of the thought, your hand performeth. Doeth the work. That is why Book of James says, cleanse your hands. Purify your heart. That is, cleanse your service to God. Now, verse 9 says, the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways far higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, look at the verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing where I to sent it. This is talking about you, me, all of us. Because the parts of Him, we cannot return void. We cannot. Because the Lord said, my word will not return to me in void. But He said, return unto me. But He also said, my word will not come back to me, not until finishing what I have purposed for. That is why, my brother, my sister, you are breathing today. I am breathing today. We are alive because God said, my words shall not return unto me. They will not finish their journey. I will not let them finish their journey until I got what I wanted. The parable of talents. He gave, He reap, then He take. And we say, He giveth, He taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Why we are alive? There is something that you will bring back to the Lord. There is something the Lord will restore through you. There is something the Lord will bless through you. For that reason, you are alive and we fight the battle of this world to survive. But it is worth it. Why? Purpose of God will have preeminence in your life. Amen? The purpose of God. But the purpose of God, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, without God's counsel, the purposes will fall. And God tells Saul through Samuel, I have made you as a captain for my inheritance. Purpose. Over time, without God's counsel, Saul forsakes Samuel. He counseled with others. He fell because the purpose was not established. When the purpose of God falls, the anointing of the Lord will leave. Why? God's anointing has no room in a place where there is no purpose of God. That is why he called Ichabod. Remember the word concerning if the glory of the God stays, if the glory of the Lord leaves. Now, let us turn our Bibles to Hosea chapter 12. Before we go back to Saul, Hosea chapter 12. Verse 6, my brother. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. And also chapter 14, verse 1 to 2. Let's read verse chapter 12, verse 6 first.
Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. So you, by the help of your God, return. Observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually.
By the help of your God, you can return. Every one of us, we can return to the estate where we are supposed to be. Every one of us here. The word return doesn't mean that we left and we come back. It is examining ourselves in our spiritual life. The joy of the Lord. Amen. Now please read, my brother, chapter 14, verse 1 to 2 first. Same book.
Hosea chapter 14, verse 1 to 2. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips.
Now here, the word that we have to remember is graciously. And that is why the Bible says, let us go near to him when he is near. Because if we linger like Lot, if the two angels chose to leave him, that Lot will be killed by Sodom and Gomorrah on that day, isn't it? But because he was near, the two angels pulled him inside the house. When Lot went into the house, the door was shut. When the door was shut, the plague was knocking. And the Lord cast a blindness upon all those who were trying to destroy his children because they were hidden in the plain sight. Have you thought about it? God hide a house in the plain sight of broad daylight. The entire city of Sodom and Gomorrah was searching for them. They could not find. They searched all night, could not find. That is how much God can hide you in his wings. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. But for that, we should take advantage of when he is near to us. That is, we should not take the grace period as taken for granted. Do not be complacent. Seemeth unto you, how Moses said, is it a small thing to us? The parable of fig tree, it strikes fear to my heart. Sometimes I feel shaken deep inside of me. The owner of the vineyard comes. For about 3 years, he checked the tree. Is it fruitful? Is it fruitful? Is it fruitful? At the end of 3 years, the vineyard owner, the landlord, he command judgment, cut it off, throw it into the fire. If we are all the servants of that vineyard, can we go and plead to the Lord? Can he give some more time? So God was wrong to set 3 years' time. There was no one to plead or intercede concerning the parable because he had purposed. When the Lord had purposed something, it was purposed in his righteousness, in his agape, in his mercy, in his the perfect will for his children, which is good, because the Lord said, I have good plans for thee. Amen? Not bad plan, not to harm thee. I have good plans for thee, to restore thee, to redeem thee. While there is time, the Lord says, bear my fruit. As long as there is time. Now, let us read this. Book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, my brother. Chapter 2, verse 12 to 14.
Joel, chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent, and leave a blessing behind him,
amen,
a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God.
Amen. Now that we all heard what the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 12 to 14 was heard in our ears, now we are ready to understand what happened between Samuel and Saul. Now turn your Bibles back to book of Samuel. This time it is chapter 7. I want all of us to see the prophet of God. Why he is called the prophet of God. Chapter 7, book of Samuel. Verse 3, I shall read this. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, not some, not part, all the house of Israel, which means the house of Israel was complete. Present to hear what Samuel spoke. Amen. We have to read the scripture by presenting ourselves in the situation by understanding what is the context. Without context, scripture is a storybook. the context and how we consider the context makes a scripture come live to our life, to our understanding by the Spirit of God. If the Bible says, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, there was none left. Am I right? All. If he spake, then they were all present. Now look at the next verse. If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. My precious dear brethren. Prophet says, Ashtaroth among you. He did not say outside you. He did not say may come near you. Prophet Samuel says, Ashtaroth among you. Why he said that? Why he said that in chapter 7? Everything is going good. Saul is doing well. Everything is coming to happen. Because there was no king in chapter 7. Only the next chapter, Saul is going to come. And Samuel is going to anoint him in chapter 10. Now we are in chapter 7. And Prophet Samuel says, if you want to return to the Lord, leave the Ashtaroth and strange gods. When God allowed King Solomon to fall, the Bible explicitly recorded saying that King Solomon worshipped Ashtaroth. Right? He built high places for Ashtaroth. High places for Ashtaroth was built by King Solomon because of strange wives who brought strange gods. And now Prophet Samuel says strange gods and Ashtaroth. But the name Ashtaroth was single-handedly mentioned. Explicitly mentioned. Because it is a type that God maintained throughout the scripture. Starting from Genesis until the book of Revelation. Different names, that's all. Different names, that's all. The serpent, Potiphar's wife, Ahab's wife, Jezebel, Athaliah, Herodias, and the great Babylon, the harlot. And now, the word says Ashtaroth. Among you, when Samuel said this, people are already assembled in front of him. They were hearing the word of God. And yet Samuel says, Ashtaroth among you. Then he says, return unto the Lord. Not unto me. He is not pointing to him. He putting himself as part of the people. We are all sinners. Return unto the Lord. Why this is very important? Because Saul has totally forgotten this incident. When Samuel met him, Saul said something otherwise. Completely opposite. That broke Prophet Samuel's heart. Now this incident continue by saying, prepare your heart unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. The word Philistines is mentioned, but Goliath will come later. But the same Philistines are also the reason for the death of Saul later. The same Saul who was preserved in the time of Goliath and Philistines when David was with his sling and stone. The same Saul was killed himself because of the same Philistines without Goliath, without no one touching him. He killed himself like Judas. Now the next verse. And the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. They did it instantly. But that is not a permanent testimony. It is as good as you go to some other nation, feel a different environment, good, maybe winter season, feel the good, fresh environment, come back to the same Singapore and enjoy summer again. Momentary, temporary, not permanent. Because the changes outside, your skin experiences it, not your heart. Influence. Now people did everything, right? Then why they need a king? They did everything as Samuel commanded. Amen? Next verse. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpeh and I will pray for you unto the Lord. Samuel says, I will pray for you. Jesus told Peter, you will deny me 3 times, I have prayed for thee. And Peter said, Lord, I will die for you. Being smart. No, being overconfident. which is scripturally called spiritual assertiveness. Assertive. People were assertive. Peter was also assertive. Now what happened, verse 6? And they gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on the day and said, there we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Now we are ready to go and listen to the example of hearken unto me. Let's turn your scriptures to Book of Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. Verse 17. Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou dost is not good. The same father-in-law said another word in chapter 17, verse, let's read that, chapter 17, verse, chapter 18, verse 9. Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done in Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of Egyptians and out of the hands of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from the under the hand of Egyptians. Now, brethren, please remember this is past. And Jethro glorified the Lord for what happened. Now, Jethro is focusing on present because Jethro represents father-in-law. Now, the Lord wanted Moses to be blessed by Jethro. And the Lord also testing Moses. And Jethro start by saying, what you did is not good. If Moses listening to this, if all the people listening to this, what? We escaped the hands of Pharaoh. We escaped all the plagues. We crossed the Red Sea. We are here and you come and tell us it's not good. No. That Moses died when the burning bush incident happened. That was different Moses. I can't speak. That Moses gone. Now Moses listening. He listens. Because Jethro said one thing. And he says, verse 18. Thou will surely veer away. Both thou and his people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Now when Jethro said this, he hasn't yet commanded yet. Now the next word comes. He says, hearken unto me. Now you should see who is speaking. Is it Jethro speaking? By himself? By his own bone flesh? If Jethro said something against God's will to Moses, God will judge him on the spot. Because Moses is the leader of God, chosen for Israel. But it is God who is speaking to Moses through Jethro. Because the Lord can work it according to his will and pleasure. He can use Phinehas to put an end to the plague. He don't go by the political, corporate, government order of men. He goes by his will. Not by the one who runneth, not by the one who willeth, but by the one who sheweth mercy. And Jethro tells, hearken unto me, and to my voice, I will give thee counsel. If you listen to me, I will give you counsel. So what is counsel? It's like a reward. It's like a teaching. Jethro says, I will give you teaching, because there was no one to teach Moses at that point of time. They all came from captivity. And the Lord had to use the one who gave his daughter to him. Without Zipporah, Moses cannot say, I'm a stranger in the strange land. He cannot say that. Without Zipporah, there is no Jeshurun. Without Jeshurun circumcised by the sharp stone of Zipporah, there is no Aaron kissing Moses. That is how we began the sermon. Amen? Closely, tightly connected even. Zipporah circumcised Jeshurun with a sharp stone. And said, thou art a bloody husband to me. And the Lord delivered us. Then God told Aaron, go and meet thy brother. They met, kissed each other. Now, here, the Bible says, I will give thee counsel and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God, what? thou mayest bring the cases unto God. Do you see the similarity between Prophet Samuel telling Saul, God hath made you as a captain over his inheritance? People, do I exercise myself to avoid offense toward God and toward men? Warning given by Apostle Paul. Now Jethro tells the same thing. God called you for his people. What's the purpose of God called you for himself that you can't help God? What can you do? What can I do to build something for God in heaven? There is no flight from here to heaven. You can't do anything to God in heaven. He is holy. He is perfect in heaven. But he wants his will to be done on wicked, filthy, dark world. And he says, my children, serve me. Because the flesh must stand in the gap. When Jethro said this, he gave a very wise instruction, which ties all the way back to what Abraham told God. Now Jethro says, hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. But be thou for the people to God what? That thou mayest bring the cases unto God, because the high priest is not activated yet. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws. Thou shalt shew them the way wherein they must walk. That is the wilderness, 40 days of U-turns. And the work that they must do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love it. Everything is good. Ordinance good, teaching good. But Jethro said, show them the work they must do. That is the capstone of the commandment that God wanted Moses to fulfill. Show the people what the work that they should do. Not the knowledge of the word. Do. Action. And Moses is listening to all of this. Then, verse 21 says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. There was a hatred that was rejoicing to God. Those who hate covetousness, God loves them. Hallelujah. Then says, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. My brethren, remember the numbers. Thousand and hundred and fifties and ten. So Jethro said four stage of handling people because he's forming a government, like a government. He said thousands rulers, hundreds rulers, fifties rulers, tens rulers. Now remember, at which number Abraham ended the bargain? 10. Am I right? Abraham said, how about 10 righteous people left in the land? And the Lord said, okay. And the bargain ended, the Lord left. But do you know how Abraham arrived at the number, the bargain? He also proposed a very interesting sequence. Let's go there so that we understand what happened between Jethro and Moses and Abraham and God. It should be in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. The bargain of ages. Now, I won't read full verses, but I just want to start and end the bargain. Here, chapter 18, verse 24 says, peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city, not outside, within the city, which means they are part of that vineyard, inside, homebound. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that therein? Verse 24 starts by 50, and Jethro starts by 1000. Amen? Now remember this. Now from 50, Abraham goes like this. From 50, take 5 out, Lord, 45. From 45, take 5 out, Lord, 40. From 40, take 10 out, Lord, 30. From 30, 20. From 20, 10. Now he finally arrives at 10. But I want us to remember what God was doing when Abraham was doing this. Don't he know that he will reach 10? Why God was listening to Abraham? You see, when your child learned to how to speak, ma, pa, I want water, I want drink. You know the child is unable to speak, but you rejoice, you enjoy the growth. Isn't it? You You love to see the child's growth in your life. And you witness it and you celebrate the walking, the falling, the running, the jumping, the cheering, the speaking. Because you know, wow, the child is growing, changing, maturing, beautiful. But you also miss the innocence of the child. Why? The same child will grow and scold you on your face. Will tell you, I won't listen to you. The same child loved you. Why? When innocence leaves, knowledge comes. When knowledge comes, pride enters. The same God Almighty who loved to see the children grow in faith, but He also grieved to see the innocence taken away by our flesh, the serpentine nature. But we brethren, children of God, who walk in the apostolic faith, when God is training the children of God to swim in the ocean like Apostle Paul, the shipwreck was there but could not stop Apostle Paul from reaching the shore. He swam through the ocean, reached the shore, he preached the gospel. The shipwreck could do nothing to him, and God wanted to see such a growth in all of us. But when we swim, we splash the water, right? What we would say? This guy would never learn how to swim. You won't reach the shore. This is you judging one another to death. Why? Peter was walking on the sea. He started sinking. You know why? He moved his eyes, the disciples, out to the left to see what happened to the storm. He forsook the eye of God and he started looking around. He started dying. And the Lord lifted him up. Why? He lost his focus. It was Saint Peter, the Lord commanded Peter, come out of the boat. Peter did not say, I am already in a boat, why should I come out? Peter obeyed. When he obeyed, Peter was doing good. Peter was walking. When he was walking, Peter was doing good. But the moment he took his eyes off, the Lord wanted all the disciples to see, without the Holy Ghost, you will never ever finish the narrow path. He wanted everyone to see the fall of his disciples, to tell everyone the promise of God will come. You will receive the power to be a witness unto me in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, all around. Without the Holy Ghost, you will sink and die. And the Lord said, I am your comforter. Now, as we all grow to conform to the image of God, every one of us have different seasons, isn't it? Some you go through autumn, spring, some go through winter, valley, mountain, some go through the time of health, joy, peace, everything, some go through the season of pain. It is a mix of all at once. Why? God wants to test everyone. When you start learning swimming, you did not splash water. You just jump inside, became Michael Phelps and became Olympic champion. No. We all splash water, go down, then we start learning how to swim. We found the rhythm. How you learn bicycle, you found the rhythm. But the way you found the rhythm was not the same as how someone found the rhythm. Can you go and tell someone, I want to learn bicycle for the very first time, just tell me the formula. What he will say? Ride, fall, you will get it. Why? Your body weight is different, your mind is different, your posture is different, your style is different, you will get it. Because salvation is personal. Same as swimming and cycling. Once you learn, you won't forget it. The Lord throw you again. Somehow your muscle memory kicks in. You will do it. That's what Apostle Paul did. Do you think that he was going for a swimming lesson? Somehow, the Lord reminded him, you can swim through the ocean. Just go, man. Why? Apostle Paul was thinking, the word of God in me, this shipwreck is nothing. The word of God in me, this shipwreck is nothing. And he swam. Now that needs family knitted together in trust, confidence in one another, not just in God. People always say, I trust in God. I don't trust anyone. There is no love in the family of God. Then the family of God is not family of God, it's the family of devil. Oh, that is not truth in the ministry. Then it became a synagogue of Satan. Revelation chapter 3. Read this. The Lord said this. Book of Revelation chapter 3. Book of Revelation, chapter 3, I believe it is Church of Sardis. Why the Lord wrote this verse? Chapter 3 should be Yes. Now let's read chapter 3, verse 2. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. And the Lord says, be perfect. Amen? Because we are still imperfect. We are not perfect, but we are perfect in the word of God. But we are going through grace to claim the promise. Amen? Verse 3 says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. It says some. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed white in raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. Now, this is the Lord's warning to Church of Sardis, isn't it? Because this is one church age before Philadelphia. Am I right? Now the next church age, read verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. What? Lord, why? I will make them as synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before my feet, before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Now remember this warning, what the Lord said in Sardis, that is a season, then follow after to Philadelphia, also a season. But the Lord said, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, but they are not Jews. Now remember this, because this is exactly what Samuel said in chapter 7. Now let's remember this. Let's go back to Samuel chapter 7. And why and what happened to Saul and what Samuel talked about Ashtaroth. If you think deeply, there was always an Ashtaroth, a spirit that was trying to pollute the garment of God's children, number one. Trying to divide the God's children, number two. And trying to separate the God's children from the God's glory. For example, Jeliah, what was her main role? To remove Samson from his glorious estate, isn't it? She had one role to do. She don't have to kill Samson. All she had to do was to receive the consent from Samson to shave off his head, which is let him lie on her lap. When the glory of the Lord left, the rest is history. Why? Enemy, go, don't find any difference. It's like David standing before Goliath, put his hand in the pocket, only find kerchief. Says, where is my sling? Where is my stone? And Goliath says, die. One hit, he's gone. It was a sling and the stone that David kept. Exercise your faith. Amen. Now let's remember this. Now read why Samuel said this. 1 Samuel chapter 7. When Samuel said this, he ends by saying in chapter 7, verse 5, he says, I will pray for you unto the Lord. Amen. Did he say that? As today is the Sunday, 7 days before the feet washing communion, just let me take a few more minutes. Chapter 10. We have read chapter 12. I want us to pay attention to the change in Samuel's character. Because he smelled something wrong going to happen, even before it happened. Chapter 7, Samuel tells that. Chapter 10, Samuel anointed Saul. His Saul, and Saul held his peace. Good. Now 12, Samuel enters again. And Samuel says, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. Because you requested, I gave you a king. Samuel said this because people wanted king more than God. And people relied on men more than God. That is why last Sunday I showed the verse in the book of Chronicles saying that praise of men and praise of God. Two different things, isn't it? Flatteries of men and the Lord who speak in truth in love. Now, Samuel says, and behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Because he has been serving the Lord since he was a child. And Samuel says, he is indirectly giving them farewell. You wanted the king, take the king. Now remember golden calf, Aaron the high priest. Aaron says, don't make the golden calf, but people forced him, we want it. Because they carried the gold from Egypt. If they didn't carry the gold, they had nothing to melt. So they had the gold from Egypt. So they kept the treasure of their Egypt, the Egyptian serpentine nature came out, they melted and they saw a golden calf. Aaron allowed. Why? He was not the leader of Israel. He was not the king of Israel. He was not the captain of Israel. He was a high priest. What the high priest will do? Let it be as you say. I bear all the iniquities. Even if it takes for me to die for you, I die. But I can't stop your free will. He allowed that, right? This is very important because you need to see how Samuel was constant in the sight of God. When Samuel said this, he uses the word, behold, I am, here I am, witness against me before the Lord. And before his anointed, that is Saul, whose ox have I taken? Did I steal? Whose ass have I taken? Did I steal? Or whom have I defrauded? Did I destroy? Or whom have I oppressed? Did I kill? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes? Remember the scripture? The gift shall blind the eyes of the wise. And Samuel said, I never received any gift. Why he was telling all of this? Now, surprisingly, Saul was doing great. Next chapter, Saul is working all the battle. Everything is going good. But Samuel saw people left the Lord. They did not return unto the Lord. He saw. Because he can see. And he says a word, and they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken of any man's head. Samuel, we love you, man. That's exactly what they told to Joshua. Joshua said, this stone today will be a witness against me, you, to the Lord. Before he died, he put a stone. Like Rachel died, Jacob put a stone. Now Samuel is asking for witness. Why? Something happened and Samuel could see and he gave a hint and he said this word. He said unto them, the Lord is witness against you. He did not say the Lord is your witness. Two different things. And his anointed is witness this day. He reminds Saul. All of us, my brethren, Saul is all of us. And the Lord wants all of us to be David. I want all of us to remember Saul and David, same person. Why? They are from the womb of the wife of Jacob. One from Benjamin, one from Judah. Amen? They're nothing but sons of Jacob. Now put them together. The Saul who became a wolf and the David who became a lion. So today, the Lord called us to be lion or wolf. He's a lion of Judah. But he called us to be harmless as dove, wise as serpent. Why? He says, ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Now who is witness? The Lord is witness. Saul is witness. And who brought this case? Prophet Samuel. Now after he said this, out of nowhere, this man of God brought Moses. Verse 6. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced. That is means what? The Lord who allowed Moses to progress. The Lord who caused progress. That is advanced. Pushing the boat into the sea. Moses was pushing the boat in the muddy pasture to the seashore. But the Lord did not let him sail. He took him. He told him, your task is done. and the boat will sail. You just die in faith. And the boat sailed. Amen? Kingdom was established. Now the Lord is reminding Saul and the people, and he's telling them, Moses and Aaron, do you see God could not separate Aaron? Why? Without Aaron, my brethren, the wilderness will not be completed. Even Moses cannot do anything without Aaron. That tells all of us, you are nothing without one another. What the Bible says, the priest of the Lord stand between the porch and the altar, weep unto the Lord and fast and pray unto the Lord. Lord, have mercy upon the land, heal the iniquity of the land. Are you the priest of the Lord? The royal priesthood, the holy nation, which means we are all servants of God. Now, let's read this. Therefore, stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. Now, after that, he goes on with Jacob and everyone. But he says, stand still. Did he say that? Samuel says, stand still. Now, go to chapter 15. Now, you see, Samuel has already spoken these words before he spoke this to Saul. He just reiterated. Now, Samuel stands before Saul, and Saul is telling Samuel a lie. Because Samuel said, you will lie. He told the people, you are liars. And Saul tells Samuel, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But he did not perform the commandment of the Lord. Because Amalekites, they were not utterly destroyed. They left some. And he lied to the Lord, I did everything. Now, Samuel says in verse 16, Samuel said unto Saul, stay. What did he say? Stay. The same Samuel told Saul, come, let me kiss you. Did he say that? He kissed. In chapter 10, Samuel kissed Saul. Chapter 12, Samuel says, stay, don't come near to me. He was broken. The prophet was broken deep inside. He is grieving deep inside. He is crying deep inside. And when he said this, I want us to look at the reaction of Saul, which was more painful to Samuel. Verse 23, Samuel says, I want to remember what Samuel said this to here. I don't want right here. He says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How prophet calls? Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft. And what Samuel said? Astaroth among you. Do you know who is Astaroth? What they will do to high places? Witchcraft. They worship their thoughts. And the Lord wants all of us, the bride, us, submit to the groom. But everything works against our salvation to come and draw us away from God. But the Lord says, draw nigh to me, I draw nigh to you. Return unto me, I return to you. But now Samuel's rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And Book of James says, if you know to do good, if you don't do it, it is sin. Now Prophet Samuel says, rebellion is sin of witchcraft. What is the word rebellion? Then Samuel unfolds second reason. He says, stubbornness is as iniquity of idolatry. Wow. Am I stubborn? Do I misunderstand for strong or strength? Pharaoh was stubborn. His heart was hardened. And the Lord said, stubborn, stony heart. And the Lord says to Samuel, Samuel says, stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. And these two words, rebellion and stubbornness, and Samuel says, Saul, you are going to fall. But Saul did not think about the fall, but he was thinking about what the people will think about me. When Samuel heard this, he was broken into pieces because he did not see this coming. You see the response of Saul in the next chapters, so that we focus only the words that we have to meditate. Verse 30, verse 26, Samuel say unto Saul, because Saul is begging Samuel, come, Turn unto me, return unto me. Saul is asking Samuel, remember, okay? Because Samuel said, stand, don't come closer to me, stay. Now Samuel tells Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Who said this? The prophet said this. Can he lie? He cannot lie. Do you agree with me? Now Samuel tells Saul, I cannot return with thee. He is not talking as a friend of Saul, but he's talking as a prophet of God. Prophecy faileth. Knowledge faileth. Everything faileth. But charity never faileth. And Samuel says, I'm a prophet of God, carrying the word of God. I cannot return unto thee because you cannot return unto God in void. He is giving a warning, I won't return, but Saul insists. Saul persists. But the persistence was not repentance. Verse 30. Saul's nakedness in complete uncovering. Verse 30, Saul says, I have sinned. False repentance, number one. He did not repent. Because he said, yet honor me now. Saul, what do you want? Honor me now. Praise of men over praise of God. Why? He said, honor me now before my elders, before my captains, before my people, honor me. Don't let me put into shame, Samuel. Save my face, prophet. Remember Naaman? Do you know why Naaman was angry? A nobleman standing at the doorstep. You don't open the door. You don't show me your face. You don't tell me thank you for coming to my house. You don't honor me, you prophet Elisha. I am offended. So what Elisha is doing? Selling honor, buying honor for people, the Lord will kill him. The Lord will strike him on the spot. Now, Saul says, honor me before my people. And you know what Samuel did? Like what Aaron did? He returned. I was meditating, why? You said you won't return. But Saul says, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord, isn't it? But it profited nothing. Did he change? Did he love David? Did he embrace David? No, he still continued to be who he was because of lack of returning to the Lord as a whole. And Samuel said, I cannot return unto thee. You know how Samuel confirmed that? The next verse, which I read from verse 35. Verse 35, Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. This is what he said in verse 26. I cannot return unto thee. Because the Bible says in Chronicles, mercy departed from Saul. Now, don't think Saul as a person. The Saul is us when we don't become David. The Michal is us when we don't become Abigail. The David is us when we don't become Uriah. Everyone plays both the bad roles and the good roles. Why? No flesh can boast. No flesh can boast. Even Moses added one more strike. More than what God said. Which is also, book of Revelation, don't add one more. Moses did. It is us, Moses, when we add something more than what God said. Do not be overly righteous. More than what God said. Now, where this all collide? Without return, how we will be restored? Without restoration, how we will be reconciled? My precious dear family of God, return is absolutely critical for all of us to restore and reconcile. Return, restore, reconcile. All start with our true repentance to God. Everything that happened in this vineyard, in this family of God, all these years, every single thing that is done against the word of God, against the will of God, shame on us, shame on all of us, shame on me. I bear all the iniquities. Every brother, every sister, every true, wonderful family of God that whom we lost because of our iniquities, our mistakes, our transgressions, we kneel and we pray to the Lord for forgiveness, that they may return. It is not about who is right, who is wrong. It is all about who God is. God is good. We want our family to return. Whatever it takes. If I perish, I perish. We need to pray. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to seek the Lord as a whole for the Lord to complete the gathering on Sunday. 7 days, anything can happen. Everyone can perish. Anyone can fall away. If the Lord chose not to preserve us, He must preserve us every single day. And it is our desire that the Lord command a mighty, blessed, divine return of the loved ones, of all of us, including us. Just because we are sitting in the chair doesn't mean that we are inside. There is always spiritual reality. We may be outside. One leg inside, one leg outside. One mind inside, one mind outside. We all have to come together. We all need one another. And the book of Joel says, fasting, weeping, the priests do between the porch and the altar for the Lord to hear their cry and to restore them. Is it so easy to return? Is it so easy to return? There are so many verses comes to heart. The Lord will bless us to continue. As I close, let us all rise and read the verse, Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. This is my humble, sincere, truthful invitation in the name of the Lord. I pray the Lord bless all the family, every brother, every sister, even those who are waiting for salvation of all your loved ones. The Lord can do great things. But the truth is, we are all wrong. I am wrong. Every one of us are wrong. That's the only way for the Lord to bless all of us to come together. The truth is, we are all wrong. Because God is righteous. Amen. Every time someone is taken from the congregation lost one. It's not they left, we lost one. No matter whatever the reason, no matter whoever is right or wrong, the truth is I am wrong. We are wrong. The Lord have mercy upon us that the invitation goes to the heart. Without them, we can't move an inch. Without our loved ones, the Lord would not bless us to take one step forward. Chapter 16, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That is, the divination praise of men, the tool of the enemy to divide the family of God by using gossiping misunderstandings. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 10. The rest of the verses I won't read, but may the Lord bless us. Yes, verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. When hatred, betrayal was mentioned, it all started because of offense. And Jesus said, not to Peter, but the adversity that was trying to take over the mind of Peter, telling Peter, behind the adversity, thou art an offense to me. My brethren, as I close sermon, I took time, but may the Lord transform it into grace. I pray the Lord bless all of us. There are two offenses. One, that Jesus Christ is offended, which is still holy. An offense that is holy unto God. In the book of Proverbs, the Lord hates seven things. Sowing discord, look of proud, the hand that goes and do mischief things, the feet run for violence. The Lord hates seven things, isn't it? And the Lord says, I am offended by these things. Not flesh and blood. And as children of God, we are only called to be offended for things that God hates. Now, the next one is the enemy deceives us to be offended and make the battle against flesh and blood. That is why people of God, we leave. And the Lord says, return. Why? The enemy played a game in between. Like what happened to Saul? Saul was a victim of what happened in between. But the truth was, everyone was willing to live and die for one another. Look around. Are we all drug dealers? Raping women, killing children? Are we all the people? Then how come we hurt one another? Do we commit all the evil things in the world? Then how come children of God can hurt one another? If not, what Jesus said was misplaced by what the enemy did. I pray the Lord bless us. The voice of the Lord has one role to play, to draw the children nigh to Him, that He nigh to them. He would never tell the children, go thy way, don't go away from me. He would never forsake His children. He wants everyone to come on board. Everyone. If those who are hurt, wounded by the painful past of the past, which even before I was born, I kneel to the ground, I cry for forgiveness. May the Lord restore us. There are people die in the land of depression. There are people who need the Savior. There are people who need to be baptized. There are people who need the salvation. We are the people of God, the priests of the Lord, the servants of the Lord, whom the Lord wants to throw us in the midst of the wolves. But we are not here to fight the battle of Astaroth. Astaroth, divide. Jezebel, divide. Babylon, divide. The enemy, divide. The wolf always divide the flock before hunt. We must be united. I pray the Lord bless us. May the Lord help every one of us to examine us. If my hurt, my wound, my pain, my offense, is it holy? If it is a holy offense, blessed be the name of the Lord. We all seek forgiveness. Every one of us to seek forgiveness. We have 7 days left. I pray that we all set our hearts straight. We come to the foot washing communion as one beautiful family of God, where we make amends and we come as one blood, one spirit. Amen? There are people waiting for our invitation. Do you know? If you invite them, they will come. The problem is we don't invite with the right intent. We invite as sinners. We invite as losers. We invite as a reason why they left, no matter who is right, who is wrong. The truth is, I am wrong. I am wrong. I am not worthy. None of us are worthy. He is worthy. Amen. May the Lord bless us. And may the Lord prepare us these 7 days. And may the Lord guide us that He shall command the return of the redeemed for the glory of His name. And may we all have a gathering according to His will that has never ever happened before. Amen. Let us all pray and close. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. Without You speaking to our hearts, Lord, we do not know how to return to our state. Even we, all of us, are here in this congregation, in this service. But Lord, that doesn't mean that we all have returned to You as a whole. And Lord, may You say a word to all of us that may we all return to You as a whole. That may we be the servants of God, whom the Lord calls Himself, I am the Redeemer, saveth the soul of My servants. And Lord, may we all serve You together as one family of God. Father in heaven, I pray, O Lord, that may You, Lord, forgive every one of us, O Lord. Forgive every one of us, O Lord, everything that was done, said, committed in this little flock of Thee in the past 4 decades, O Lord. We seek forgiveness, O Lord. I seek forgiveness, O Father. All the sins, all the things that I did against Thy word, against Thy spirit, against Thy will, O Lord. May You have mercy upon every one of us. Bring our family back to the congregation, O Lord. Bring our mothers back to the congregation, O Lord. Bring our brothers, sisters, our family, our children, everyone, O Lord. Bring them, O Father. May the Lord command the former things pass away. And let there be a beginning of new season, a refreshing season, where we all focus only on the souls who need Christ, only on the souls who are looking for the redemption of the Savior. May the Lord transform the vineyard to the Lord, who can call Himself as the Lord of the harvest. I thank You, Lord, for all things. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all prayed, Amen and Amen. Shalom, and God bless you all.